Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Laura W., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic from South Jersey. Today is Friday, December 27, 2024, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are at page 67, that third paragraph, starting with notice that the word fear, ending on the top of the next page, it seems to cause more trouble. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Rhonda R., the 12 Traditions, Terry G., reader of the text is Hillary B., our backup reader is Juanice N., reader of page 164 will be Jody E., and our newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be done by Betsy H. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, December 26th, the 10 a.m. meeting is 22,026. That's 22026. And for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, December 27th, the share ID is 22,028. That's 22028. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeat Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Laura. This is Rhonda R., a grateful member in Memphis, Tennessee. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to do service in December.
Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you so much, Rhonda R. Next, I will now ask Terry G., please, to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. And good morning to everyone. My name is Terry G. I'm a food addict, and I'm from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first, and personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into a public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do service during the month of December. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Terry G. Thank you so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 67, the third paragraph, starting with notice that the word fear, ending on the top of page 68, it seems to cause more trouble. And I will now ask Hillary B. to please read the text and share for 3 minutes. Good morning, Hillary.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you so much. Notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and the wife. This short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. Well, I am Hillary B., a compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered for today, which is my 20 months today of entire abstinence. I'm very grateful, one day at a time. So it says, fear was an evil and corroding thread, corroding. Like it wears away everything good in me. It wears, it's like sandpaper. It wears down everything my higher power would bestow upon me. And I have tons of fear. And I didn't even know I was a fearful person. I didn't know I had stress. Imagine my surprise in this abstinence that I'm seeing how much stress and fear I have. But what I have learned before, and I learned again this time around with my fourth step, is if I didn't have this fear, I wouldn't have any of my resentments. my resentments, I get resentful at a person because I worry, you know, because they do some behavior that irritates me. But why? It's always related to, I don't want to look bad. I want to look good. My husband's behavior is especially, I'm especially sensitive to it because he's a reflection of me. That's a lie, but that's what my brain tells me. I might say that's what my disease tells me. So if he's not behaving in the way he should, oh my God, what are people going to think of me being married to him? Even if nobody else is around, his behavior will trigger that fear in me. And it corrodes our relationship. It corrodes my peace and the fabric of my existence. I want to say was certainly shot through with it, but it's not was in the past tense. It still is shot through with it. And only because I have a spiritual path that these 12 steps keep me on, hold my hand through, give me other people to share with who are on the path with me. Only because of that is there hope that this one day I can see my fear when it comes up and I can do something about it so I don't have to eat over it and I don't have to lash out at another person over it and I don't even have to get a resentment about it in my head. So thank you so much for listening, Hillary B. in Southern California, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Hillary B. Okay, so before I take the list of names of people who want to share, just a reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on any Vision for You meeting on Wednesday or Thursday of this week, please hold back so that other people can share. And please limit your share to 3 minutes. And I would just need your first name, first initial of your last name, and also let us know where you're calling from so people can find you on the member list. Who would like to share?
Karen KZ in Missouri.
ENF.
Okay, I heard Karen Z from Missouri. And I heard Bruce E. From, I believe, Florida. And I heard Ian, ENF, I believe.
Yep.
All right. Ian, where are you from?
Indiana.
Okay, I knew that. Anybody else want to share? I've got Karen KZ, Bruce E, and ENF.
PMC from New Jersey.
PMC from New Jersey. Terrific. One more.
Carrie B., Wisconsin.
Carrie B., Wisconsin. And I think I heard somebody else.
Stephanie S. from Washington.
Stephanie S. from Washington. All right, that's a great lineup. Karen KZ, Bruce E., ENF, Pam C., Carrie B., and Stephanie S. And first we will have Karen KZ from Missouri. Good morning, Karen.
Thank you so much. This is Karen Casey in Missouri. So grateful for all of you and this wonderful program. Yes, fear. Fear runs my life. It is an evil and corroding thread. And I love it whenever I do my 10th step or I share with anybody or work with anybody. Those character defect sheets, under frightened, it says, the bottom line of all this, you know, I'm frightened of my husband's illnesses and his sickness and being in the hospital and my fear about losing him and all that kind of stuff. And I remember, and I keep going, but I don't forget, when I'm lost in fear and I'm drowning in fear, it's because I am not relying on God alone for my sense of ease and comfort, my safety, my security, my value and esteem. Because it doesn't matter what happens to my husband, what happens to me, what anybody says, what anybody does. None of that matters as long as I am in conscious contact and continually turning to my thoughts away from my fear and asking God to remove it and trusting and giving thanks for all the ways that every single day, whenever I invite him to take over my thoughts, words, and actions, he does it. But it's sort of like he's waiting in the wings, and I have to call. I have to ask for help. And every time I ask, and as every day I just keep turning, I wake up doing that, turning my all that over and asking him to think his thoughts, speak his words, and act his actions. He's actually doing that more and more and more. And we've been through sort of a crisis here. My husband's been in the hospital. He's out now, but just one thing after another. And I kind of lost my way a little bit. You know, the darkness kind of hid the light. And yet I continually turn to God. So it doesn't mean that life's going to be a rose garden all the time. But the only thing I have to remember is to trust and reliance on God. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks, Karen KZ from Missouri. Thank you. Up next is Bruce E. from Florida, followed by Ian F. from Indiana. Good morning, Bruce.
Yeah, thank you. This is Bruce E. I'm recovered. I'm in Southwest Florida and Fort Myers area. This reading, tremendous. We're getting into fear now, and I notice that just like it says here, fear is bracketed with the three individuals and an employer. So three individuals and an institution. You got fear. Well, twice with Mr. Brown, twice with Mrs. Jones, once with his employer, and once with his wife. Well, with me, it'd be about a dozen with my wife. I'm not working anymore. I guess I could worry that the company that I retired from could go out of business and I could lose some of my retirement. That could happen. But the fears are with people and institutions here. And I used to live in it, you know, scared of everybody. I was scared of everyone, afraid of everybody. And I'm not going to live that way anymore. And of course, it tells us soon how we get rid of it. We just, God, I humbly ask you to remove it. Take away my fear and direct my attention to what you'd have me be. It is a thief. Fear is a thief. It steals everything from me. It steals my finances. It steals my more than anything, it steals my relationships, you know. It steals from me. Evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. Yeah, it set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. Yeah, so, yeah, I don't deserve all the stuff's happened to me. No, hey, it's God's will. But did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? Yeah, so fear, okay, so there's resentment and fears behind it, right? So I'm mad at everybody. But I'm fearful, you know, so I start getting these resentments start to come up. And I set the ball rolling. You know, I got the ball rolling. You know, I have to look at what my part of it is or was. And it's because I did something. You know, I was scared about something. Scared I was going to lose something. You know, have to impress everybody so that, you know, I can make them think that I'm valuable. You know, I don't have to do that stuff anymore. I did that stuff for years, though. And so now I can live with more happiness and joyousness and freedom. So that's great. Good way to live. And sober. So I pass.
Thanks, Bruce. That was Bruce E. from Florida. Up next is Ian F. from Indiana, followed by Pam C. from New Jersey. Hi, Ian. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Ian F., compulsive overeater in Indiana. my voice is a little messed up. Sure, we'll make it through. I'm really attached to the phrase "God is everything," and one of the things I've been thinking about is, as I listen to these shares, is you know, for me to be afraid is for me to believe that something is wrong, and for me to believe that something is wrong with the way the world is to be denying myself the experience of God, if God is everything. And that concept makes me really angry because there's a lot of things in this world that I don't feel like should be happening. you know, and that's on the global and political scale and also my personal scale, right? And I have this memory of my first sponsor when I had my first breakup in OA told me that she found her husband when she stopped feeling, you know, like she let go of the fear of being alone and she just stopped needing anybody. And I was like, okay, all right, I'm going to stop needing someone. I'm going to stop being afraid to be alone. And I expected that just because that happened, everything would fix itself. And of course, things got better eventually, but not anywhere near the way that I thought they would or thought that they should. All of this to say, I'm a lot less afraid than I was when I joined. I'm still afraid of a lot of things. And when I find myself in that place of fear, I just need to remind myself that, like, I really don't know what God's doing, you know? And honestly, some of the best prayers that I ever give are when I just say quite bluntly, God, I don't think you know what the hell you're doing. I really don't feel it. And I will often feel that way for a very long time. But this program requires of us not that we like everything that God is doing, but that we trust that it's going to be okay, you know, even if we don't know what okay looks like. When I'm afraid, that's just me feeling like things aren't going to be okay. You know, and when I am afraid, that's that two thing. There's always a way out. You know, God will help me if I'm willing to believe that it can happen. You know, that's the way out of that fear. That's all I got. Love you guys. I'll pass.
Thanks, Ian. That was Ian F. from Indiana. And before Pam C. goes, I just want to remind everyone where we are. We're on page 67 of the Big Book. That third paragraph, notice that the word fear, ending on the top of the next page, it seems to cause more trouble. Pam C. from New Jersey, share with us. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is Pam C. in New Jersey. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm never able to be on this meeting live, but I'm off today because I'm preparing to move this weekend, which was very unexpected. So there is a lot of fear there. I love what's speaking to me this morning in the reading is it set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? And I have made so many decisions in my life based on fear. And, you know, it causes harm, not just to myself, but to others. And this situation that I'm in right now is a perfect example of me making decisions based on fear, that the consequences were devastating to me, having to move. And it was my fear of confrontation, you know, my fear of speaking to people, sharing information that needs to be shared in a timely manner. And I make poor choices because I'm afraid of the consequences of having a conversation. And what ended up happening in this situation is that I was asked to leave my apartment. So I see so clearly today. Thank God for this program and the inventory process and God in my life, because doing the inventory work around this, I can see my part so clearly. And just my part, you know, I know I'm only 50% responsible for what's happening right now, and I can make the appropriate amends, which I'm so grateful for, so I can really leave here in peace for myself, with my landlord as well. But I'm also, I have this knowing that God is directing the show. And for whatever reason that I don't understand, this is God's plan for me, because it will not only benefit me, I think, in the long run, but others in my life, perhaps even my landlord. I don't know. I don't understand, You know, I don't know what God's plan is, but I do see God's hand in all of this with every single thing that has happened along the way. So the important thing for me when I go to that place of fear, you know, I have to think about how has that benefited me before? How have I caused harm by acting in fear and then taking it to God and following God's direction? So thank you all. And I pass.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pam C. from New Jersey. Up next is Carrie B. from Wisconsin. Good morning, Carrie.
Hi. Thank you so much. This is Carrie B. from Wisconsin. I am a compulsive under and overeater, and I have been isolating myself all through the holidays and just totally in bed and feeling so depressed. So this morning, my higher power got up and said, get yourself to a vision meeting right now. So I am here. I'm so grateful that you're here every day. And I heard exactly what I needed to hear today, and that is the piece about the fear. And I know from my previous inventories that every resentment, every single thing is corroded by fear. And as I listened to everybody's shares today, I realized that that is so true for me, what's going on for me right now, and why I'm half measures in my program and not doing what I know works for me, because, you know, where there is faith, there is very little fear. And I have to remind myself that every 2 hours. I used to set my alarm to stop, drop, and pray and really understand what the fear was that was going on in every moment of my life. And now it's come back. You know, I'm going through a breakup with a very long-term relationship. I'm having to move, and I can think of nothing but fear and cannot sleep at night. So I know this is the best thing to do, is to be among my fellows and ask for God's help and get back to step 11 in prayer. So thank you so much for this meeting, and it's such a rock, such a stability in my life. I just put on a special edition whenever I'm feeling super low, but this meeting was really, really key this morning. So thank you so much. I pass.
Thanks, Carrie. Thanks, Carrie B. from Wisconsin. Up next is Stephanie S. from Washington. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater here in Washington State today, thanks to God. This paragraph means a lot to me. I recall about 20 years ago when my 2-year-old daughter was burned playing with the office water dispenser that she pulled down on the red lever, and she got burned on her hand with hot, hot, hot water. And the fear that rose up in my mama heart went, it changed the course of my physiology, and I went into fear mode. She was okay. Everything turned out okay. However, I recall that, and it makes me see the danger of living in that reactive, panic-stricken feeling and mood during the day when I am just living my normal life and lifey things happen and my fear trigger goes off. Now, when I did my fourth step, I found fear, and I was so surprised at how often it came up in my inventory. And thank God I did this fourth step, and I also had the fifth step, but the fear has to be dealt with. And I get angry. I don't think I'm afraid at all. And then I do my 10th step, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so afraid of this. And then I talk about it, read about it, pray about it, read it to a fellow, and then it disappears because my brain is thinking panic, life or death, this is the big problem. But it's not. It's not the big problem. So that's kind of what I just appreciate this program and what my higher power has given me, these tools so that I can function in daily life. And yeah, that's all I have to share. Thanks for all your service, everybody.
Thanks, Stephanie. That was Stephanie S. from Washington. Okay, so I'm going to take a new lineup. We are on page 67, the third paragraph. Notice that the word fear through it seems to cause more trouble on the top of page 68. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. I could probably take 5 or 6 more people. Give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who'd like to share?
Linda W.
Judy E.
from Manitoba, Canada.
Okay, I didn't get anybody other than Judy.
Marcel
F. Manitoba, Canada.
I heard Chanel and then somebody from Canada.
Marcel F. from Canada.
Liz A.
from Canada. Okay, I got Liz A. from California.
Darian K.
And Darian, where are you from, Darian?
Massachusetts.
Lisa from Florida.
Lisa, what's the initial of your last name?
Lisa B.
Isn't that a B?
Yes, a B. From Florida.
Okay, great. Okay, so I think we need to hold up right there. I've got Jody E., Chanel T., I believe, Marcel F., Liz A., Darian K., and Lisa B. All right, Jody E., you're up. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephanie. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful recovered Californian compulsive overeater. So the word fear, it is a corroding thread that touches just about every aspect of our lives. How true that is for me. It's evil. It sets in motion trains of circumstances which bring misfortune. But don't we set the ball rolling ourselves? And shouldn't it be classed with stealing? What I think that means, shouldn't it be classed with stealing, is that it should be classed as a sin or as a moral failing, a spiritual failing. But God, and that's true, I would say, when I am in fit spiritual condition, I have far less fear. But boy, as a human being, I seem to be hardwired for fear. Maybe it could be because for whatever reason, fear is that corroding thread, and my existence is shot through with it. And it is behind every resentment and every dishonesty, every dishonest thing that I say. It's because of my fear that if I speak the truth, I will lose something that I have or fail to get something that I think I need. Basically, I'm insecure as a human being. I'm insecure. And that is why I need this higher power, this connection to something greater than my small self. When I can connect to this higher power through all of you, through prayer, meditation, and contact with all of you, service and self-sacrifice to others, then I start to feel more secure. I'm not so defensive. I'm not dishonest. I'm not angry. I'm not so selfish. I'm more generous. I'm honest. I'm giving. I'm loving. I have love in my heart to give. When you experience a success in your life, I'm happy. I'm not jealous or envious. I'm genuinely happy for you. I'm not so afraid that just because you're getting what you think you want and you want and what you seem to need, thank you, and I'm not getting that, I'm still happy for you. So anyway, I need you and I need my higher power to transcend fear. Thank you.
Thanks, Jody. Jody E. from California. And this is Laura W. in South Jersey, not Stephanie, but no worries. Chanel T., where are you calling from? You're up next.
Hi, thanks, Laura. This is Chanel T. in Washington State. Grateful and recovered today by the grace of God. And fear, I have to laugh at myself because I'm like, well, can I share today? Is this the third day? Oh, my goodness. And I'm ruminating over that. So I can find fear in just about anything. Oh, no, I'm going to owe the group an amends. Nobody cares. Anyway, fear is like an acid. It's like acid, but not like your stomach acid. But see, even if I take my stomach acid outside my stomach, it's corroding, right? It's not a good thing. It's not happy. Anyone who has been bulimic knows this. I'm not bulimic, but I sure can corrode my life with fear. I can corrode it. And when we go back to page 58 and how it works, where it starts, you know, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. I'm like, fearless? Look, I don't think I've been fearless a day in my life, all right? But I could be courageous. So putting a pin in that, I'm going to come back to now. Every time that I stand in fear, which is my default state, I'm a victim in my life. I'm speaking for myself only. I'm a victim in my own life. I'm going to hand over responsibility to anyone and everything else. And for me, that's a very dangerous place to be. Instead of handing it over to God, where I'm standing in faith, I may still have some fear, but I'm trusting that things are going to be the way God wills, then I'm going to have some peace around them. But if I go with how I think things are supposed to go, or how I think you think things are supposed to go, or I think just it's going to happen no matter what, and I have no say in it, and it's just, oh, well, I'm Eeyore, and oh, well, oh, dear. Yeah, things don't go so well because I have no peace. And the more that I stand in fear, the more likely I am to eat the things that were killing me slowly. So it's corroding. It's like acid. However, if I do step into faith instead, very shakily, and I just say, okay, God, I can't. This is a good reminder to me today. I don't know if this helps anybody else, but I need it. And I just say, okay, I'm walking. I don't exactly see where I'm walking right now. I can't see the steps through this fog that I'm in here. Not everything's clear ahead, but I know you're there, God. I know you're with me. And I know that if I just keep walking, standing in this little tiny bit of faith,
gentle reminder,
then a miracle will happen. Thank you. And miracle upon miracle will happen, and I'll be safe. That's all I've got. Thank you, I'll pass.
Thank you, Chanel T. from Washington. Up next is Marcel F. from Canada, followed by Liz A. Marcel, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Marcel F. from Manitoba, Canada. Oh my goodness, there are no accidents and no mistakes in God's world. I was just working on a 10th step inventory on fear this morning, and I decided to call into this vision meeting. I'm Marcella, compulsive overeater, recovered today by God's grace and mercy and love. And it is an evil and corroding thread in my life. Fear turns me away from trusting God. and gives me this belief that I won't be safe or okay if I'm not in control or if I'm not right, and fear that others will discover that I am not perfect. And I am then afraid of not getting my way and fear that I will make mistakes. And recovery, this beautiful program, has taught me that my solution is trust, ask, invite God to help me with life decisions, big ones and small ones. And God has a huge, giant watering can, and he sprinkles me with a gentle and warm shower, and I just feel the fear being diluted. And sometimes this feeling is permanent and lasting, but a lot of times it's fleeting. It's not a one and done for me. It's repeated actions. Pray, pause, trust God, keep doing your inventories, outreach, meetings, and service. I would want the fear to go away right away, but I know that there are lessons in everything that God sent. And I just have to be a little bit more patient, but I do feel it. I do feel some of the things changing in me, and that is a miracle. And I'm just really, really grateful. Thank you, everyone, for the service that you do on this meeting. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcel F. And up next is Liz A. And before Liz begins, we are just a reminder where we are. We're on page 67 of the big book, the third paragraph. Notice that the word fear. Okay, Liz A. from California, you're up.
Hi, my name is Liz A. I'm a compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, California. Thank you for your service and everyone for their wonderful shares. I think I came out of the womb afraid, because I know as a child I was pathologically shy, and it was all about, you know, fear of people. And then as I got older, my family are Holocaust survivors. So when I learned all about that, I learned that, you know, the inhumanity of man towards man. And I was just afraid of everybody and everything in this world. And, you know, it's interesting to me because I heard an AA speaker, and she was saying that when she had a fear, she would then say, ask herself, and then what? And then what? And taking the fear to the nth degree, you know, what would happen? And then what? And ultimately, she would come to, I don't know. And in that I don't know is where you can have the faith. I don't know, but God does know. And God loves me, and I can rely on God. And it's the only thing that I know is real. Everything else is an illusion, you know? Anger is the bodyguard of fear. So I'm either going to freeze or I'm going to be angry and lash at you. And I love how it says that it leads to fear, leads to all kinds of consequences, you know, because we act out of that. I also, the one thing that helps me a lot when I get into fear, because I catastrophize everything, is I just say, right here, right now, everything is okay. And if I have to say that, you know, no matter how many times I have to say that, eventually I get to the point where right here, right now, everything is okay. And I had a sponsor tell me that the light at the end of the tunnel is not an illusion. The tunnel is the illusion. We are in God's light every day. And that just calms me, and it keeps me right here in the present moment. And I think I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lizzie from California.
And Darian Kay from Massachusetts, I believe. If you could take 2 minutes, that will give Lisa B time for 2 minutes as well. If you each can take 2 minutes, that would be great. Darian Kay, you're up next.
Thank you so much. I'd be happy to do that. Darian Kay from Darian Kay from the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts. Oh, grateful to be on the line with you all. And you know what? I have to share on fear. That is like my middle name. it does. It's that corroding thread in my life. And you know, I've heard it stand for F everything and run, or face everything and recover. And you know, I have a choice today on how I decide to think about it. And so, but I just feel as a compulsive natured human being, fear just like snowballs. It just starts out little tiny, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, right? And it just takes over my whole being. And you know, I like when it said that it should be classified with stealing. It's stealing our serenity. It's stealing our peace of mind. You know, and that's not what I want from this program. That's not why I'm in this program today. For as long as I've been, I want to have that peace and serenity, you know. And just a small example of how I turned fear into faith, which really to me are the opposing forces, is yesterday I gave some blood for a test that I need, you know, for a physical today. Didn't want to, but needed to be a responsible human being and do it. I can't stand that stuff. I hate it. I hate it. And so I closed my eyes at the time and just prayed and prayed and prayed, and it was done. And I was like, yay. and so that fear was overcome with faith.
Gentle
at that very moment in time. Thank you. And so, you know, at any moment and any time, we can utilize the faith that we have to overcome fear. So thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Darian Kay from Massachusetts. Lisa B from Florida, if you could take a minute and a half, that would be great. Thanks, Lisa. Lisa, please press star one. Am I being heard?
This is Lisa. Can you hear me?
Now we can, Lisa. Yeah, I'm sorry. You got about a minute.
Sorry. Okay, just wanted to connect with everybody and put myself in God's hands. I really related to the people that talked about breaking up with people. The fear of not knowing who my friend's going to be is, you know, you leave something and you don't know what's going to happen. But I'm hoping in God's hands, things will be better for me. So I just wanted to connect with everybody. Thank you so much, everyone, for your service.
Thanks, Lisa B. from Florida. Thank you so much. Sorry to cut you off with the time. Okay, so that it's now time to close the meeting. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jody E. please read? Meant to be suggestive only.
Will do. Jody E., recovered in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to us for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to Happy Day. May God bless you and keep you until then.